Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It has been such a blessing to be in the studio with Tara.
Yay.
From Tell It Well, her Bible study, which you can purchase and be blessed by. We were in chapter 12 the last 2 weeks. Tara storied it. And then last week we just got into a lot of discussion on Herod and some of his actions. And then also when Peter was in jail and how all of those people were glorifying God and praying and giving God honor. And it's just amazing what prayer can do.
It is amazing.
Amazing what prayer can do.
And that God answers.
And he answered very quickly. And today Tara's going to elaborate on the angel of the Lord and what he said.
Yeah.
To Peter.
You know, this is a big deal, this passage right here. And so I actually want, Sabrina, if you would do us a favor, I want you to read for us. I want to start with Acts 12, verse 6, if somebody wants to read it. No, go ahead and do verse 5, because it talks about them praying.
Okay.
And read it all the way through until the point where the angel disappears. So up to verse 10, through verse 10.
Okay. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought that he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him.
All right. This is such a good passage, and I love listening to Sabrina read. You have a good voice, and yet she's a worship leader, y'all. My description for Sabrina's voice is it's like silk chocolate.
That sounds
There's
so
just
good.
Something sweet and smooth and silky. Aww. It just kind of just warms your soul.
Yeah. Well, praise God.
Speaking of that, I made this really good chocolate recipe. You guys, I have to share this. Okay. You know, let's diverge. We've never done this. So we were in Canada recently and we bought these almonds that were covered and they were yellow. We had no idea. I was thinking maybe yogurt, but when we actually bit into them, it was lemon chocolate.
Oh.
I'd never had it. And on the Amazing. Almond, it was absolutely delicious. So I had this idea. I thought, well, I can make that. And melting white, it was just white chocolate with lemon extract. That's all it was on an almond. It was to die for. And so came home and we started experimenting. I bought the stuff for the lemon, but also bought the stuff for dark chocolate. So we did dark chocolate, but we did orange with it.
Mm-hmm.
I shaved off the rind of the orange and did two drops of extract orange and then almonds in this just a little piece, and it's just so good.
Are there any left?
Yes, I have some. I'll give you when you get to the house. So we just had to share that. Okay, so there's your recipe for the month, huh? That's
there's
funny.
Your chocolate.
That's funny. God, so funny. I can't believe I just said that. Okay, so we're looking at today, and we've read about the angel of the Lord, and some things just kiss you like the angel did for Peter that night, and chocolate tends to do that for us, so that's how that came in. I was shocked. Okay, we will look next week at Herod. Today we're going to focus in on this section of Peter. But both of them in Scripture, when I was reading through this, it says that while he was sleeping, that an angel of the Lord appeared to him and struck Peter. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word for the angel of the Lord struck Peter and the angel of the Lord struck Herod. If you read it in the King James, I think it actually says smote. New King James, maybe the Holman. And I'm like, God, what does that mean to be struck or to be smote? Because the angel smote him. And it actually means to be pricked or poked. So he was sleeping. He was sleeping so soundly that the angel had to poke him to get him to wake up.
Wow.
Okay.
He was in REM. Yeah.
I mean, he was deep sleep. He really was sleeping like a baby. And the angel poked him, and he thinks he's seen a vision. He's had visions before. Remember, he mm-hmm. had been on the roof and had the vision of the white sheet with the unclean animal coming down. And, you know, so he's had visions. And so in his mind, that's what he's likening this to. And the angel gives him orders of some things that he needs to do. And the very first thing the angel says to him is, get up.
Right.
Get up.
Quick.
Or is that what your translation
is? Yeah, so quick, get up.
What is that one?
The NIV.
The NIV. Let me see. Oh, does mine say quick, get up? Quick, get up. Yeah. Okay. So he says, quick, get up. Or and then he tells him to gird yourself. Okay. Gird means he tells him to get dressed. Sabrina, is that what yours says? Put your clothes on.
Right. Wrap. Yeah. Put on your clothes and sandals.
Okay. And the King James, gird yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. Follow me. So he's giving him direct commands of what right. he wants to do. And then once the mission's completed, the angel just disappears. Okay. So he mm-hmm. says, quick. He's like, get up, gird yourself, and follow me. Three simple commands. Three simple things. And without question, without hesitation, even though he thinks it's a vision, he just does it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking guards. Where were the guards? The guards were obviously blinded. He walked past them.
Oh, I love it.
Four squads of four 16. Guards. So 16 guards in total, chains upon his wrists, tells him, get dressed, put your cloak on, you know, and, you know, get his coat, get your shoes on, your sandals. Follow me. Now, I have this question for us. How do these three principles apply to our life right now and going and telling to another? Get up. Gird yourself. Do you know what gird means?
Get put clothes on? Or?
Yeah. Well,
put your girdles on.
Sort of. Yeah, I mean, I know you've heard me say this before, but we'll say it because I know there's other people that haven't heard it that are listening. Back in Jesus's day, the men wore long garments. And in order for them to run, they had to they would reach back behind them and grab the back of the dress, essentially, guys. Sorry, it's the way it was. And they would pull it up between the legs and they would tuck it inside. That would be to gird.
Kind of like a sumo wrestler?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, they're tucking in their dress so they can run, to get their legs free. And so, you know, he's girding himself. He's putting his clothes on, girding up, getting ready. I don't know if he was tucking his cloak in or not, but, you know, that is essentially what that concept means. And he wanted to follow. So think about our opportunity to go and tell. Get up, gird yourself, and follow me. What does it mean to get up?
Well, I think it's different for every situation. You know when you need to get up. But I think there's something that I have to point out that God just spoke to me when you were reading this. He said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And I think a lot of times we won't get up because we still have the chains on and we're ashamed of what we've done. So how can I tell someone about Jesus when, oh my goodness, you don't know what I've done. And I really don't believe I've been forgiven, you know? And so I'm dealing with a person like that can't get out of that prison, you know? So she doesn't feel equipped or worthy, but God says your sins are forgiven as far as east is the west. So I love that.
I love
quick,
that.
Get up, confess.
And you know
and
what?
And then go and follow me.
If we do not do the get up, can the chains fall off?
No.
I love that, Sabrina. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's extremely profound.
Well, praise God. It's an act of obedience.
It
all
is.
Of it is.
Totally. Completely an act of obedience.
And you need all three. You can't just do one.
You can't. It's not complete if you have not.
I mean,
if I'm still allowing myself to live in bondage, I have not gotten up mm-hmm. and done what I'm supposed to do. What would the girding yourself, getting dressed, look like today?
Putting on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, reading my word and being filled with the Holy Spirit, being cleansed, being walking in the truth, and not me, but God through me.
Mm.
Completely different.
Yeah, and you were describing our spiritual armor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's extremely important. And I'm also reminded, what was it in Colossians 3 where it goes through and it tells us the way to dress ourselves and the Lord.
Bear with one another.
Yeah.
Humility.
That's one of the things I wrote about too. And so these are things that we can do so that we are better equipped to go out and tell somebody.
And it has to be God through us. It can't be waking up striving. I'm going to be a good Christian today.
No.
I'm going to go take a meal to someone because that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
It's no, God put this on my heart specifically for me to go do this for this person. I know it'll bless them.
Mm.
It's not me. It's only God through me. There's a huge difference. And I think a lot of striving goes on and it has to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's striving, we're not really reaping a benefit with the kingdom glory in mind. It has to have the kingdom glory in mind. I'm reminded, I had a really good friend that one day, I remember sitting in Bible study in Houston, and she goes, you know, one morning I just woke up and I decided I'm going to be holy. And I discovered I couldn't. I couldn't.
Yep.
It was so cute the way she said it. And she goes, but when I least think I could be, I find out I am.
Mm.
And it's one of those things, I can't make myself holy because holy is the separateness that God gives. That it's not something I can manifest or make happen. But by walking in obedience to his commands, seeking to be an image of Christ, seeking to glorify the Father the way Jesus did, doing the will of the Father the way Jesus did, when I do those things, I don't even know it, but God's holiness ends up being made known. It's amazing how. And then the thing that struck me is, like, essentially, if I think I'm being holy, then really I'm being prideful.
Right.
Because think about that, you know. Anytime I think, oh, well, I was so holy there, it's like, oh my goodness, who do you think you are? Girl.
Yeah.
That's kind of a scary thought.
Yes. I think everything that the angel of the Lord, it was so concise and so simple. And the Christian walk is so simple. I mean, he gives us commands, love God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's just that laziness.
Yeah, complacency.
It's lazy and complacency. And I love Peter, how he just, like you said, he just got up and did it. He trusted.
Yeah.
He knew his God was infinite, almighty, all powerful. And he was going to be okay.
And he wasn't blind to his flesh.
No.
At one point in his walk in the ministry, he was.
I just read about that last night. The rooster crowed.
Yeah. You know what exactly I was talking about. The denying of Christ. He said, oh, Lord, I would never deny you. And he did.
Three different ladies.
But you know what's amazing, though, is that Jesus, when he saw him and Peter made eye contact with him, Jesus didn't say anything about it. Not one word.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. He didn't go back and point out the sin.
No. Love doesn't take a record of wrongs.
Yeah.
Like we do. Oh, Lord, forgive us.
Help us to learn to love.
That's right.
Yes. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so what we have here is a man who is willing to be obedient, a man who is willing to follow through and do exactly what he was told. And as Peter was doing this, I thought, you know, how does Peter's miraculous release open the door for greater telling? Now think about him going and knocking on the door. He's knocking, knocking, knocking. Servant hears his voice, runs back. He's at the door. It's Peter. And they're like, it must be an angel. You're out of your mind. They're calling her crazy. They called her a mad woman, essentially. You know, you're nuts.
Rhoda.
You're nuts. This teenage girl's gone nuts, you know. And she's like, really, it is. And finally they go see, and it's him. And he quiets them down, and he says, this is what happened. Now you need to go tell the brothers. And how did his miraculous release following James's martyrdom open the door for a greater spread of the gospel?
It just increased. It multiplied.
Do you think they were more apt to be wanting to go tell people after seeing and hearing how God heard their praying? They're begging, praying, yes. praying, God, open the door, Don't let anything happen to Peter. Please don't let Peter die. But in their hearts, they're praying, God, please help us when he does.
Because they saw what happened to James.
You know, kind of makes you wonder what kind of prayers might have been going on in their hearts. Have you been in a part of, have you ever prayed a prayer where you didn't know where you stood in your prayer? Yes. Because in one moment you're praying faith this way, and another minute you're praying faith this way, because you don't really know what the outcome's going to be, so you don't know what praying faith is.
Yes, many times.
And God answered, and they didn't expect it. He showed up, and there he was, and they're like, oh, no, it must be an angel. They're thinking the vision's happening to Rhoda, just like Peter thought he had a vision. But Peter, see, what happened is Peter was in the midst of it. He was in the midst of a miracle and didn't know the miracle was happening. It's almost like he could not see as the hand of God was doing what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He could not see it. But the minute the mission was accomplished, Peter says, surely I now know that God rescued me from Herod and what the Jews intended. When the mission was accomplished, then Peter knew how the hand of God had been moved in his behalf. There are times when we are going to be in the process of God doing the miraculous, and we're not going to be able to see what he is doing. But when it's accomplished, he will allow us to see how his hand moved. That's huge for me. I mean, that's huge because oftentimes I can't see how God's working. I cannot see it when I'm teaching. I cannot see it when I'm writing. I cannot see it when I'm out doing something. But then later I'll hear about something that happened and then it's like, oh, I saw the hand of God. I see now because I'm removed from it. The mission's been accomplished and I'm able to see with better clarity of what God did. Sometimes we aren't given the clear vision of as it's happening because Peter didn't. He thought it was a vision, but he was actually living it. And I was thinking through this in closing. I'm just going to read a poem. It's really short about what I wrote about Acts 12. And it has to do with the lifting of a hand. And when I say the lifting of the hand, I just want to make sure that you understand. It could be the lifting of the hand of God, and it can be the lifting of the hand of man. So just listen. With the lifting of the hand, James lost his head to a chopping block. With the lifting of a hand, chains fell from Peter's wrists. With the lifting of a hand, a group quieted to hold their peace, to hear of a miraculous release. With the lifting of a hand, a man in royal robes received the praise of men. And with the lifting of a hand, the Lord laid to rest the one that did not give him his best. Peter gave his best. The disciples were giving their best, and God blessed them. Come back next week and let's see what happens to Herod when God lifts his hand. God bless.